Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The world in which the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, operates today is one of growing complexity, new challenges, and increased risks. The revolutionary advances in science, medicine, and technology provide enormous opportunities, as well as challenges that go to the core of FDA's mission. As a regulatory agency that makes its decisions based on the best available science while maintaining its far-reaching mission to protect and promote public health, FDA must have a solid information technology infrastructure so it can uniquely position itself to anticipate and successfully meet challenges. What is FDA's IT strategy? How is FDA changing the way it does IT? And what is FDA doing to leverage the advances of mobile technologies? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Todd Simpson, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Also joining us from IBM is Tim Stitely. Todd, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tim, welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
So, Todd, would you give us a brief overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration?
Sure. Well, the FDA has been around for, I think, 106 years now. And its mission is very straightforward. It's to protect the public and to ensure the safety of devices that emit radiation, food, veterinary medicine, and to regulate the marketing and the campaigning of tobacco products and anything pretty much that the American public ingests or put on their body.
So Chief Information Officer means different things to different organizations. In your role as Chief Information Officer, what are your responsibilities and duties, as well as your organization, the Office of Information Management and Technology? How does the efforts of the office actually support the mission of the FDA?
So I see my job as that of enabling the mission of the FDA. So that is at the beginning and the end, I'm there to enable the business. I think my job, you know, I think I came in expecting to be a technologist, but I find myself being much more of a diplomat and a problem solver and a collaborator. And, you know, the organization, as I said, is highly federated, and it's important that we in IT enable that mission and we don't step on the toes of, you know, the business. So we have to give them a certain level of autonomy and freedom to maneuver. So instead of centralizing, instead of coming in and trying to bring everything under one umbrella, we're trying a different approach. We're implementing FATARA, and we're using that to centralize governance, to set the standards, to set the guidelines, to set the policies. And what we're finding is that the centers are very willing to work together and to come together and to on that common ground. And I think on that common ground is where we're going to be most successful in reducing duplication and solving some of our interoperability issues that lie ahead.
Yeah, so that's a nice dovetails into my next question, which is, you know, if you had a sense of giving your top three management challenges, what are they and how have you sought to address them?
So that's a great question. I would say interoperability is a major problem at the FDA, and system duplication is another major problem at the FDA. And, you know, it's not a technical problem, but I think the culture is, I'm not going to classify it as a problem per se, but it's something that's a challenge.
Sure.
And overcoming that culture and working across all the various groups and all the various personalities, the regulators to the scientists, and bringing everyone together and making sure everyone understands all the nuances of the business. Because a scientist wants to solve a problem, wants to cure cancer, do whatever that scientist is doing, and they don't want to wait for a technology problem. They don't have patience for a technology problem, and that's where we have to be vigilant. We have to come in and enable that business and make sure that everyone has the right tools to do their job.
So as you've transitioned into your role or, you know, in your current role, what has surprised you the most? And then I'll put a second point to that as well. What similarities is there in the role that you're doing today from where you've come from?
So I think what surprised me the most is how well the team has kind of come together to execute. So, and I'll talk about this later. I'm sure there will be questions. But we released a strategic plan a year and a half ago, and I've been able to execute about 40% on that. And I've never seen this kind of support, this kind of groundswell of enthusiasm in the federal workforce. So comparing it to other places that I worked, I've worked with some really good people and some really good agencies. But the FDA is unique in its people assets, I would say.
You know, so what about you? Could you give us a little bit about your career path? How did you get to where you are today?
So I spent a stint in the military in the Air Force. I was there for 6 years, and then I went to college at The Ohio State University and held various positions while I was there. And I would say that the official start of my career really began, from my perspective, when I went to a telephone company in the mid-90s. I was a competitive local exchange carrier, and back in those days, you had to really be, just kind of a dynamo to be successful in that environment. Because one day you could be provisioning laptops, and the next day you could be, configuring a router or setting up a CSU or some T1 link to another office. So I had a heavy engineering background. I was very comfortable as an engineer, but like most engineers, you get pulled into management eventually, and I was eventually promoted up through that company. And I moved to Pennsylvania, and I worked with that company for, I think, 10 years through private sector. They went private, they went public, they went bankrupt, they were bought, they were sold, et cetera, et cetera. And it was just the one consistent thing was that I survived all of that. And I eventually left on my own to take a CIO position with the county that I worked in. And it was just a phenomenal opportunity. I got to work with some incredible people, and it was just a huge job. And I really started to find my calling as a change agent, and that's where I labeled myself that first and foremost as a CIO. But then I went to the criminal division a couple years after taking that CIO job at the county, the criminal division, part of the Justice Department. And I worked there for 3.5 years, and clearly I was on a career path. So I went in as a 15. I did some really great things, I think, at the criminal division, and promoted into an SES role with the Department of Transportation. And then I waited until I could get a CIO position again. So that was the ultimate goal. When I, moving around in the federal government, sometimes you have to take a promotion, and it's almost a demotion at the same time. So I gave up a CIO position to become a deputy CIO, but I gained the SES. And so
it's a great way to do it. See, it's funny, but you think about the Air Force, your time in private sector, your time through your federal experience. You know, what makes an effective leader in your mind? And perhaps you could tell us who's influenced your leadership style.
So I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that question, because I'm kind of a bull in a china shop. When I came into the federal government, I remember getting a lot of really weird looks because, I had kind of an intolerance for some of the things that I saw, and I didn't understand why things had to take as long as they did, and why some of the nuances of the federal government, and I think that that I've maintained that private sector look and feel, and in fact, it's not that I long to go back to the private sector, but I do invite more of a private sector look and feel to the job that I'm in right now. And I believe in driving accountability, holding people accountable for the job that you're giving them, having very clearly defined roles and responsibilities, and just making sure that you're communicating your expectations. And I think that if you follow those rules, and if you look at everything through a business lens and you try not to personalize things or bring your ego into it, I think you'll have a successful go of things no matter what you're doing. So for me, that's been the secret.
And you said earlier it's like diplomacy, but you really need that sense of leadership when you're operating, especially a CIO, in a federated model. I mean, the collaboration aspect is really important.
So I think, if you're looking for personnel traits, other people, Jack Welch and others have done this a far better job than I could do. But I think integrity and honesty and just being transparent, mm-hmm. and it's not just talk. My strategic plan incorporates a balanced scorecard approach, and everything that I did with the formulation of that strategic plan and the dissemination, the execution, everything is transparent. I produce a balanced scorecard report on a quarterly basis. My customers can see every single line of service, how much we're billing them. They may not be happy with their bill, sure. But they're at least privy to how we're coming up with the numbers. And we're doing things every day to try to refine our cost model to bring more transparency to that cost model so our customers know the value that they're getting and can make better decisions, to cut costs and, things like that. So,
what is FDA's IT strategy? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Todd Simpson, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.